You ever go into your closet and look and say, what am I going to wear today? And there's so much to choose from. My closet's a little different. I can choose from black, 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 or black. And believe it or not, I do have another section of other clothes. But sometimes it's decisions. What am I going to do? Am I going to match this? Am I going to wear my Bulldog shirt? Am I going to wear, my Mets shirt or my Braves outfit? Whatever it might be, you have to make those choices. Well, today, there are three very rich readings. Which to preach from? Do I preach and tell you about what happened in the book of Acts? Or do I take you to the upper room where Jesus met those apostles and the door was locked? I struggled. So I decided on both, because they both work together so beautifully. And today's first reading from Acts chapter 3 takes place right after Peter and John were walking to the temple, entering a gate called Beautiful. There was a curved flight of 15 steps. Now, where did I get this information from? Historian Josephus describes it richly, and he said those 15 steps climbed up to the magnificent doors. They were majestic bronze doors with extraordinary workmanship of Corinthian brass, huge and deserving of the label Beautiful. And the walls were covered with gold and silver. It had to just be incredible. The real name of the gate was the Gate of Nicanor, and it led to the court of the Gentiles and the women's court. Now I'm going to ask you to please open your Red Pew Bibles to page 1693. Look at the bottom of the page. It's chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 3. It was 3 in the afternoon, and there was this lame beggar who had been that way since birth. And he was brought there every day so that he could beg from people entering the temple. So look at verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Now we need to understand just what Peter is asking the people in today's first reading, because all this took place before today's first reading. First reading that we had this morning was from Acts chapter 3, and it began with verse 12. So you have to understand, and this is what's called exegesis. You're looking at the big picture of where the scripture took place. If you just pick out a couple of verses, that's called eisegesis, like isolating. Well, we want to know why Peter and John did what they did and who they were talking to. The lame man being healed had just taken place. And so we pick up this disbelief about what had happened. This lifelong cripple had just been healed in front of their very eyes. And he was there every day asking for money just so that he could survive. And Peter had no money, but he gave him a far greater gift. And he said, in the name above all names, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And so, right after that happened, he said, "Men of Israel, why does this surprise you?" This is verse 12. You can pick it up if you want to where we were reading. He said, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power of godliness we made this man walk?" Peter then reminds them of Jesus And the fact that they turned him over to be crucified, even though Pilate wanted to let him go. They killed, as Peter put it, the author of life. In other words, the creator, who was raised from the dead, and now they can't believe what was done in his name. You see, Jesus was foretold by the prophets of God, and they now stare in disbelief. Have you ever witnessed something and you just can't believe what you just saw? You know, could have been a car accident. Could have been a healing. Could have been something incredibly funny. And sometimes you just have to sit there and say, did I see what I just saw? We've all been in situations like that. And now they stare in disbelief. And just like when Jesus walked among them, he healed people by what? By faith. And he was doing the very same thing now through Peter. And he's still doing the same thing today through us. If you think about the awe that the people in the temple area experienced that day, can you just imagine the stunned apostles in that locked room? When all of a sudden Jesus appeared to them, he was there. The door was locked. How did he get there? And he offered them what? His shalom, his peace. He showed them his hands and his feet. In other words, it's me. And they became overjoyed. Now remember, John, who wrote this gospel, was an eyewitness. He was there. He was also with Peter when Peter said, silver or gold have I not, but I give to you what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. John was an eyewitness, and he writes, again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. He's changing their job description right before their very eyes. They had, for the most part, run and hid when Jesus was arrested right in front of them at the Garden of Gethsemane. And now, after hearing that Jesus was alive, leaving his empty tomb behind, he was once again right in front of them. And Jesus knew how stunned they were, and so he offered them his shalom, his peace, a second time. Their minds must have been racing. Can you just imagine? I'm sure they remembered the words that Jesus spoke to them in the upper room on the night of that Seder meal, the Last Supper, and some of the last words he shared with them. He told them, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. What he said on that Thursday night was now coming true. So much was in store for them. But Jesus was not just sending them to continue his ministry. He was about to empower them as well. Jesus was about to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, to enrich their own spirits, to allow them to do more than they had ever done before. Now, I've often said that the Hebrew word for breath or spirit is ruach. And Jesus shared his spirit, his breath with them. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, again, the same word for breath is the same word for spirit. Jesus breathed his spirit of new life into the apostles that day, just as he had done in creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Are you seeing the connection here? The apostles received the breath, the Ruach HaKadesh. HaKadesh means the holy. Ruach is spirit. Now you are Hebrew scholars. the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath, the Holy Breath, the Holy Spirit. And they received all that they needed to carry out the command that Jesus just gave them. The power to forgive sins and everything that goes along with it. In essence, Jesus was telling them that he believed that they were up to the job. Stop doubting, stop hiding, stop being afraid, and get up and start doing what I called you to do. To continue the ministry that he, the Messiah, the Christ, had begun. And they would receive more, so much more, in less than 45 days on the day of Pentecost. When they received the full gifts of the Holy Spirit as a rushing wind. But for now, Jesus was telling them to come out of hiding and begin the work that was needed to be done. Are you following me? I've preached countless times about Thomas not being there and being upset. And I'm not going to believe until I put my fingers in his hand and I put my hand in his side. Jesus did indeed come back a week later and gave them his peace once again. But this time he walked right over to Thomas. And he erased any doubt or fear that Jesus really did come to see them. And you heard in the gospel reading how Jesus went right to Thomas. And Thomas's reaction was to say, "My Lord and my God." He just didn't say, "Oh, Jesus, nice to see you." Or, "Oh, my Lord, Adonai." He called him God. He was the first disciple to do that. The first apostle to do that. Now, we know that Jesus ascended to the Father 40 days after Passover. And the Holy Spirit descended upon and gifted the apostles on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. But we don't know when today's first reading took place, when Peter and John were heading up to the temple. We do know that because it happened in Acts chapter 3, Jesus ascended to the Father as recorded in Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 2 in Pentecost, so this had to have been after that time. And it resulted in the healing, the marvelous and miraculous healing of that cripple. So we know that in terms of the book of Acts, the timeline that Luke recorded, that it was after Pentecost. All the apostles were emboldened then to go out into the city, proclaim the truth about Jesus in many languages or many tongues. Peter was given the courage that day. This was the guy who denied Jesus 3 times and was scared. But somehow he got the courage to walk out amongst the people who were there for the feast of Pentecost or Shavuot. And he walked out among them and he told them. And the way the book of Acts describes it in Acts chapter 2 verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 added to their number that day. We had trouble fitting 125 in here last Sunday, but thanks be to God. Can you imagine speaking to 3,000 people and having, or more than 3,000, and having 3,000 come to Christ on that day and ask to be baptized? Oh my goodness. There was quite a difference in the apostles from the men who hid in the upper room for fear of being caught by the Jewish leadership, to the way that they were now professing the risen Jesus to the world. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 43. The peace and courage that Jesus breathed upon them with the gifts of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost were indeed empowering them to continue what Jesus did, and was evident on that day when Peter and John went to the temple. And after the healing of this man, the temple leadership got upset. Can you imagine? That here was Peter, and he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And it got so bad that the temple leadership arrested them. And you can follow along and read this at another time in Acts chapter 4. So it was right afterwards. And they arrested him. They were astonished with the change in these men. And asked them, how this man had been healed. Well, Peter wasn't shy anymore, and he told them, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he convicted those men of killing Jesus. And they told Peter and John, all right, we're going to release you, but don't mention that name. They were afraid of the name of Jesus. It holds such great power. And you know what Peter told them, as recorded in Acts chapter 4, verse 12? He said, salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Thank you, Lord, that they did not follow the instructions of the temple leadership and not speak his name ever again. But instead, they followed the words of Jesus that he spoke to them, as recorded in the first chapter of Acts, verse 8. And he said this just before he ascended to the Father. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Christians must remember the power that comes in the name above all names. And that's why when we pray, especially for others, we do so in the name of Jesus. I ask you to remember the power that came in Peter's words when he said this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.